Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Prepare the way. Thank you, God. Oh, let that song just minister to your spirit just for a moment. Prepare the way for Jesus. That was the job of John the Baptist, to prepare the way in the wilderness, to prepare the way for the Messiah that is to come. Oh, we're so excited about this Advent season. And we've got one of God's great servants who's going to give us a word here today. But I'm Pastor Reginald Holmes of the New Covenant Christian Church Alpha and Omega Ministries. And along with my ministry mates, my pastoral partners, Pastor Terrence Hughes and Lady Rochelle Hughes, and all of the members of New Covenant Alpha and Omega, we welcome you to our services this morning. And what a word, what a word. Prepare the way for Jesus. I tell you, Advent is an exciting season. We get to prepare our hearts and we get to prepare ourselves to receive Jesus anew and afresh in our lives. And we're going to be lighting our second Advent candle. The first Advent candle was lit last week by our own dear sister Deidre Hudson, the candle of hope. And this Sunday, we've got the candle of preparation. And one of God's great servants, part of our outreach ministry, Sister Carolyn Day, is going to come now at this time and to share a word with us around preparation. Receive her at this time. Thank you, God. Thank you, God.
Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Good morning, church and church families. I will be reading from Psalms 119, verses 9 through 16. How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips, I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following in your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts. I consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. Meditation is a combination of reviewing, repenting, reflecting, repeating, thinking, analyzing, feeling, and even enjoying. It is physical, intellectual, emotional activity that involves our whole being. Preparing yourselves on a daily basis to connect your thoughts to action. Always your mind and your heart allowing to receive the coming of Christ and keeping the law of love and remembering the death of resurrection of Jesus Christ. Studying the word. Again, I lift up verse number 16. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. Lord, I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do. I'll say what you want me to say. Lord, I will say yes. Let us prepare our hearts and our mind for the coming of the Lord. Let us pray.
Amen.
God of all hope, shine your light on your saints who journey.
Thank you.
May the seeds that were planted, may the wreath, Lord, be that light of Christ's promise to bring us salvation. Prepare for the coming of Christ. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thank you, God.
Thank you, God.
Thank you, God.
I will be lighting the second candle called Bethlehem, or called Candle of Preparation. Advent season is a time for preparation for our hearts and our minds to remember the birth of Christ Jesus and God's will for your walk in life. God's wreath has no end. It symbolizes the eternity of God through who we worship. And in this light of preparation, I light the second candle. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, God.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Thank you, God.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Thank you. Thank you, God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Somebody ought to put a hand clap of praise right there.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, God. Thank you, God.
Thank you, God.
Candle of preparation.
Thank you, God.
The candle of preparation. Oh, how we thank God.
Thank you, God.
How we thank God.
Thank you, God.
That we are prepared. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
I tell you, Advent is such a high and holy time for all of us because, you know, again, it gives us an opportunity. It gives us a chance to meet God, to meet Christ anew. And afresh. Every Advent gives us that opportunity. Well, I want to again welcome all of you, and I want to thank Sister Carolyn Day for that word that really kind of moves us right into the message this morning. Before we get into the message, I want to make sure now that those of you who wish to give to our ministry can do so by writing to us here at New Covenant Christian Church Alpha and Omega Ministries. That can be NCCCAOM, P.O. Box 2958, Denver, Colorado, 80201. That's New Covenant Christian Church Alpha and Omega Ministries, P.O. Box 2958, Denver, Colorado, 80201. Or you can go onto our website at NCCCAOM. That's NCCCAOM. Go on our website and go to the Givelify app and you can give there to our ministry. Again, the address is NCCCAOM.org. NCCCAOM.org. If you'd like to contribute through our Cash App, you can do that as well. NCCCAOM. That's $NCCCAOM. Eternal God, we thank you and we bless you for this day. And we thank you for the opportunity to pray. The opportunity, Lord, to invite and invoke your presence with us here today. God, come in and have your way with all of us. Those who would hear and the one who would preach. Create a meeting point, O God, between the hearer and the speaker, and allow, O God, your supernatural work to be done at that meeting place. We thank you right now. And God, if there be a man, woman, boy, or girl here today who do not know you in the pardoning of their sins, Lord, I pray that this day would be the day that they give their life to you. We thank you and we honor you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. At any point that I am preaching, at any point that I am preaching and you want to enter a prayer request, a praise, or if you simply want to make a confession of faith, then just make it. Just type it into the comments. Write us, let us know that you're willing to make that confession, willing to make that commitment, and we'll follow up on you when our service is over. But we're here, make no mistake about it, we're here to see the lives of men and women changed. We preach the gospel because we want people to have that encounter with God. Turn with me quickly to to our text this morning, which is found in Matthew 16. Matthew 16. And I'm going to be reading to you verses 1 through 4. Matthew 16, verses 1 through 4. Listening to the reading. The Pharisees and Sadducees came to Jesus and tested him by asking him to show them a sign from heaven. He replied, "When evening comes, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, today it will be stormy, for the sky is red and overcast. You know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but you cannot interpret the signs of the times. A wicked and adulterous generation looks for a sign, but none will be given except the sign of Jonah. Jesus then left them and went away. The word of God for the people of God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. A wicked and adulterous generation looks for a sign, but none will be given except the sign of Jonah. I want to tag as a sermon title, I want to tag this text with the title, Prepare, Prepare for What is Coming.
Amen.
Prepare for what is coming. It would be a lot easier for all of us if life came with an instruction manual or a set of blueprints that could help guide us through. It would be nice if the doctors and the nurses would hand your parents an instruction manual at birth that told them all that they needed to do for this child in every moment and every year of that child's life. Now that would work. But in this life, unfortunately, things don't work that way. We have no idea what is in store for us when we are born, and we don't know what we will face even after we're born. We're only given one instruction in life, and it doesn't come when we are born, but it comes when we are born again.
Right.
When we come to faith as Christian believers, we are told that the best way to navigate through life is to be prepared with Christ. Preparation is the key. We don't know what's coming in the next year or the next day. The truth of the matter is, we don't even know what's coming in the next minute.
Amen.
You just have to do your best to be prepared for whatever comes your way, realizing that with you and Jesus, you can get through anything. It isn't about knowing everything. That is why we must have faith, because none of us are omniscient. We don't know it all. Some of us think we do, but the Apostle Paul says we only know in part, and the other part that we don't know, we got to prepare for it. Hallelujah. Have I got a witness here? Good friend from my childhood called me yesterday. We've been friends since elementary school. And it's one of those friendships where no matter the last time we talk, we can just pick up like we just spoke on yesterday. Mm-hmm. We talked about an hour, and as we were getting ready to hang up the phone, he said to me, I'm going to need to call you back real soon about something I need to run by you. I said, well, you know, we can talk now. I got some time. What's going on? He said, I have everybody in my ear telling me that it's time for me to retire.
Mm.
He said, I'm not ready to retire.
All right.
I'm still healthy. I love my job and I make good money. So I asked him two questions. The first one I said was, what does your wife say? He said, she's fine with me working and wants me to do whatever I feel like. The second question I asked was, what plans do you have after you retire?
Hmm.
He said to me, that's the issue.
Okay.
I know eventually I'm going to have to retire, but I'm not ready to retire. I said to him, then don't. Huh? If you aren't ready, if you aren't prepared to retire, then don't.
All right.
Listen, listen. The issue for him was not money.
All right.
Huh? His money is longer than train smoke. Yeah. Money was not the holdup. It was figuring out what to do.
All right.
He has worked for 40 years on the same job. What to do next, he had never yet prepared for. I confessed to him that I try to keep the R word far away from me. I'm not sure I am prepared to just walk away from pastoring.
All right.
Huh? After almost 40 years of ministry, what would I do? Fish every day? Travel the world? Watch soap operas and Netflix all day? Lord have mercy, I'm getting bored just thinking about it.
Right.
Huh? You know, there's got to be some thought always of what is up ahead of us in our lives. Nowhere is that more needed and necessary than in our everyday walk as believers.
Yes.
We don't always know the specifics, but it is necessary to prepare for the big picture. I know somebody wants me to go straight to Armageddon. Somebody listening won't think I'm getting ready to go to the rapture and the day of judgment. But there are some things that we need to be preparing for now.
Yes, yes.
Right here. Our quality of life now, right here. And the quality of life we want to have in whatever future we may have left, it's going to require some preparation.
Uh-huh.
We are told in our text that the religious leaders, the Sadducees and the Pharisees, came to Jesus one day looking for a sign. They wanted to see something that could validate Jesus and to signal to them that what he was saying was true.
Mm-hmm.
Though their motives were less than honorable, they were nevertheless asking for a sign.
All right.
Their motives were no different than a lot of people who go to crusades and seek the prophetic. It really isn't the prophetic that people are seeking, but it is soothsaying and divination that people are really seeking after. Tell me what is in my future, prophet. Give me a sign of how blessed I'm going to be. Prove to me, God, huh? Prove to me, God, that you are who you say you are. Just give me some kind of sign, God. The reason we seek a sign is because we're trying to get around, Carolyn, preparing for ourselves. Save yourself some time. Save yourself some heartache.
Yes.
You don't need a sign. You need to prepare. You need to prepare. You don't need somebody speaking over you and speaking into your life every week. You need to prepare yourself for what is coming. And trust me, it's coming.
Yes, sir.
The good and the bad is coming.
Yes, yes, yes.
Prepare yourself. Prepare yourself. I read somewhere that the best way to go through life is to go through realizing that whatever you're going through, things are never quite as good as they seem, and they're never quite as bad as they appear. But if you prepare yourself, you and Jesus can handle anything that this world throws your way. Give me just a few minutes more and I'm done. Give me just a few minutes more and I want to share a few things from the text that Jesus was trying to share with those religious leaders. They asked him to give them a sign. As a result, and as it relates to preparation, there are several things in this text that you should never do. Meaning, if you should never do them, then you should do just the opposite. The first thing is this. Never ask God to do for you what you ought to be doing for yourself.
All right.
They asked Jesus to give them a sign, and his response to them was, you can predict the weather. Hmm. You know what is happening in the atmosphere, but you cannot see what is happening on the earth. You can predict the path of hurricanes. You know when there will be a high system or a low system. You have storm trackers and radar that allows you to zero in on all kinds of weather, but yet you cannot discern the sign of the times. There are people who want to depend on God for everything.
Yes, yes.
And I know folk tell us that. Oh, depend on God for everything. Yeah, I understand what you're saying, but some things you need to deal with yourself.
Yes,
why trouble God for a sign?
Yes, sir.
Huh? When you really need to get your head up out the clouds and start looking around you and ask yourself the question out and prepare for the weather, we need to figure out what is happening in our world and prepare for it.
Yes, yes. Yes.
If we can track storms in the natural, we ought to be able to track storms in the spiritual. It ain't hard. But it does take preparation.
Yes.
Here are these religious leaders, like so many of us religious leaders today, who have our heads in the sky looking for a home in glory. Huh? But yet we're satisfied with people living in hell
on earth.
Quit asking God to do for you what you ought to be doing for yourself. God isn't going to change any of us without our permission.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And not without our participation.
All right.
We don't need to ask God to change the races. That's going to be the job of the races. Yes. And us.
Yes.
Huh? God is not going to stop the liars from lying.
Okay.
The liar must stop lying himself.
Yes.
Or herself.
Yes.
The kids ain't going to stop killing and shooting with these guns. And the adults aren't going to stop either until they decide no more. Don't ask God to do for you what you ought to be doing for yourself.
Yes, yes.
They said, show us a sign, Jesus. And Jesus said, you have it within your power to discern weather.
My God.
And you have it within your power to discern the times. Why are you asking me to discern the times for you? Do it yourself. When it comes to preparation, God just ain't going to do everything for us.
That's right.
Secondly, the text tells us that if we're going to do our part to prepare for what is coming, never place more emphasis on what is coming than you do on what is already here.
Okay.
You stay with me now.
Yes.
You can only deal with what is coming by focusing in on what's already present.
Mm-hmm.
If you do not deal with the right now, you'll never be ready for the not yet.
All right.
Predictions are always about the future.
Mm-hmm.
People will stand in a prophetic line for hours to have someone tell them what life holds for them in the future.
Mm-hmm.
What the prophet never tells you, though, is that until you deal with your right now,
right,
you ain't going to be prepared to receive the not yet.
Yes, yes.
Jesus said you can predict the future of weather, but yet you cannot see what's happening right now.
Say that.
I know we think that we have to plan for the future, and we do.
Mm-hmm.
But the best way to plan for the future is to take care of your business.
Talk.
Right now.
Talk.
Hallelujah. We say and believe that Christ is coming back.
Yes.
Whether he comes back for us one at a time, or whether he comes and takes us all together, that ain't the issue. You know, we're spinning around talking about arguing over the rapture. Look, that's not the issue. The issue is, are you preparing right now?
Talk.
Whenever he comes back, however he returns,
yes.
Are you preparing right now?
Yes.
If you are handling your business right now,
yes.
What is to come later will take care of itself.
Yes.
Preachers and parishioners cannot be so heavenly minded that their ministry is no earthly good. You have failed as a pastor. Listen, you failed as a pastor.
Speak.
You failed as a pastor.
Hallelujah.
If you have prepared folks to live in heaven, but you have done nothing to prepare them to live on earth.
See.
You have prepared people to walk heaven's streets of gold, but you have done nothing to make the streets safe right here on earth. We have preached about putting on robes in heaven, but people need clothes right here on earth. Somebody ought to say amen. We talk about Jesus interceding at the judgment, but folks in courtrooms all over this country need Jesus's people to intercede for them when they are on trial. I know we have heaven in view, but before we get there, let us take time now to prepare ourselves to fulfill our earthly calling.
Yes, yes.
If you're going to prepare yourself for what is coming, never place more emphasis on what is coming than you do what is already here. We have things to deal with now. We got miles to go. Now,
yes, yes, yes.
The preparation for what is coming starts now.
Lastly,
as I close, as we prepare ourselves for what is coming, the signs are already here. What we need to prepare ourselves for, we already have.
Yes, yes, yes.
We keep looking for the future, and the future is now. The sign we are looking for has already been given. As we prepare for what is coming, it is important to remember that what you are looking for, the sign you are looking for, has already been given. Jesus told them that the sign you are looking for has already been given. You're not getting another sign. Open your eyes, he said.
Yes, yes.
A wicked and adulterous generation looks for a miraculous sign, but none will be given except the sign of Jonah. Jonah was in the belly of a whale for 3 days before coming out. What Jesus was talking about, some say here, was his own resurrection. And perhaps he was, but could he have been talking about something else?
Bring it.
He said, the only sign you're going to get from me is the sign of Jonah. Let's delve deep, a little deeper into Mr. Jonah here. Jonah was a preacher called to go to Nineveh to preach to one of the most wicked cities and some of the most wicked people on the face of the earth. I don't have time to list all of the sins and debauchery that was happening there in Nineveh. It was a wicked place. Jonah did not want to go to that city to preach. He feared that God's grace, after he preached, if those people came close to looking like they were sorry, he figured God's grace would save them. He just as soon would have God wipe them out, though. He said he did not want to go to Nineveh to preach. That is why he ended up in the belly of a whale. He went to Nineveh, and God did exactly what Jonah thought God would do. God chose to save these non-Jewish people who Jonah thought should have been wiped out. The miracle of the story isn't about Jonah. Listen, the miracle of the story isn't about Jonah being in the belly of a whale, but the real miracle was that the people of Nineveh repented.
Yes, yes. Thank you, God.
And God saved them in spite of Jonah's objection. That's the only sign you're going to get. Folk who you thought God didn't care for, God saved them.
Thank you, God.
Can you discern the times There are people just like Jonah who see themselves and their relationship with God as superior to other people. Maybe Jesus was telling these religious leaders, prepare yourselves. You don't see what is happening. You are discriminating against the Gentiles, but God is getting ready to save them. Go back to chapter 15. All you got to do is flip back over, and in 15, before he gets to 16, he's healed the Syrophoenician woman in Gentile territory. He's fed 4,000 people there. Don't you see what's happening here? Is what he said to them. Oh, you can discern the times, my brothers and sisters. There are some folk on top who cannot discern the times. The only sign God is giving right now is the sign of Jonah. The tables are getting ready to turn. That's what Jesus was really saying to them. Oh, only the sign of Jonah is getting ready to be given to you. The tables are getting ready to turn. Keep on believing that your greatest security is in a gun. The tables are getting ready to turn. Keep making draconian laws around abortion because of your fears of being outnumbered. Keep on closing your borders and building your walls because you fear the darkening of America. The tables are getting ready to turn. Folks on the bottom are getting ready to be on the top. The last is getting ready to be first. Outsiders are getting ready to become insiders. Can you see it?
Hallelujah.
Huh? Can you see what's happening? The devil sees it. That's why he's raising so much hell. Oh, my brothers and sisters, prepare yourselves. Prepare for the tables to be overturned. Oh, yes, Jesus is coming back. Oh, yes, he is. He's coming back. But until he does, prepare.
Prepare.
Study his word. Serve his flock. Love God's people. Praise God in every situation. He said he was coming back. But until he does, prepare. Prepare for his coming. Prepare for what's coming. And prepare for it right now.
Hallelujah.
For God is a right now God. Hallelujah. Yeah, we got a future.
Yes,
thank God we got a future. But hallelujah, until that future gets here, you got to prepare right now.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you today for the word. We thank you, Lord God, for your people. We thank you right now, oh God, because we sense something in the land. God, we sense something happening, God. Oh, there's going to be a great overturning, Lord. There's going to be a shifting, Lord. There ain't going to be no shifting toward one individual, Lord, where they're going to get their blessing. Lord, you're getting ready to bless all of us. You're getting ready to clean this thing up, God. And Father, we see it, and we stand on it. And we have faith in you, God, that you're going to turn this situation around. God, you're going to bless this nation. You're going to bless this country, Lord. Father, you're going to use us to do it.
Thank you,
Lord. We're not going to ask you to do something that you've already charged us to do ourselves. And so, Father, we thank you right now that you're going to walk with us. You're not going to ask us to do anything, God, or you're not going to walk with us. And so, Father, right now, in the mighty name of Jesus, God, walk with us. Walk with us,
thank
God. We thank you right now. Continue to bless this time of preparation.
Yes, God.
Continue to bless our time
of
preparation in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Somebody give God some praise right now.
Hallelujah.
Put a hand clap right there in the comment box.
Thank you, God.
Hallelujah. Put a hand clap right there in that comment box.
Hallelujah.
Give God some praise.
Thank you, God.
Give God some praise.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I hope you're preparing.
Thank you, God.
I hope you're preparing for what's coming. I hope you are preparing because it's coming.
My God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, God.
Thank you, God.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, God.
Thank you, God. Oh, we come now to celebrate our Savior, Jesus Christ. I know this is the first Sunday, and those of you who may be tuning in to us for the first time may say, well, you know, it's first Sunday. That's why they're having communion. No, no, no. We have communion every Lord's Day according to the scripture that says, as often. As often as you, often does not mean less, often means more. As often as you do this, you do it in remembrance of me. And we want to remember Jesus every time we get together. Every time we wake up in the morning, we want to remember. And if he said, do this meal in remembrance of him, we do it every time that we gather. And we don't do it after, we don't do it out of ritual. We do it out of obedience.
My God, thank you.
And we do it because we love the Lord. Amen. That's our greatest motivation. Amen. We love the Lord. We love calling his name. Amen. We love celebrating his birth. We love, Lord, just celebrating everything there is to celebrate about our precious Savior, Jesus Christ. And so right now we come to this time in our worship service where we celebrate the Lord's Supper. Jesus Christ, on the night that he was betrayed, gathered around the table with his disciples, men who were broken like us, men, Lord, who didn't have it all together like us.
Yes.
But, you know, Jesus didn't use that to disqualify them. And some of us need to quit using people's imperfections to disqualify them.
Amen.
Because if you use somebody else's imperfections, then you got to use yours too, because none of us are perfect. And so we come to this time in our worship service where we remember our Lord and we remember our Savior. It was on the night that Jesus Christ was betrayed. The Bible said he blessed the bread, he broke it, and then he gave it unto his disciples. And he said to them, this is my body, which is broken for you. Eat in remembrance of me. Amen. In the very same way, after supper, he took the cup and he said to them, this is my blood, the blood of the new covenant, shed for the remission of sins. As often as you drink of it, you do show forth my death and my suffering till I come again. Drink ye all of it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, God.
Thank you, God.
Thank you, Lord God.
Thank you, God.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah to you now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God.
Thank you, God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh, bless us. Bless us, Lord God.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, God.
Prepare the way.
My God.
For Jesus.
My God.
Let me thank Sister Carolyn Day once again for the lighting of the second purple candle, the candle of preparation. I want to always thank my son Jeremiah for all of his technical work and technical support.
Amen.
I want to thank those of you tuned in this morning. When we're done, if you can, share that message with your friends. Sister Lasagna Scott, my homegirl from Florida, I looked up and she had shared this. We didn't even tell her to do it. And she shared this with friends. Others have shared. And we want you to share. We are speaking to those of you who are tuning in, especially to our own members. Share the word. Hallelujah. Don't be hoggish. Don't be greedy. Hallelujah. You want all the word to yourself. No, share it with somebody else. Get it out there. In this new age of church, that's going to be the evangelistic model. We have to get the word out. We have to talk to people. We have to reach out to people. And if it takes doing it on social media, then we do it. Whatever it takes to put folks in touch with Jesus. Remember, now you can contribute to our ministry by writing to us here at New Covenant Christian Church, Alpha and Omega Ministries. That's P.O. Box 2958. Denver, Colorado, 80201. That's P.O. Box 2958. Jeremy just told me it's in the comment box. 2958, Denver, Colorado, zip code 80201. Go to our website, nccaom.org. nccaom.org. givelify.org. Go to our website and go to Givelify there, and you can give as well. Cash App us if you like at $NCCCAOM. NCCCAOM. Thank you so much. Thank you, John Keogh, for your support. Thank you to all of our listeners. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Have a great day. Hallelujah. Two more Sundays of Advent before we celebrate our blessed Savior's birth. Two more Sundays. Join us again next Sunday as we bring you the Word of God. Until we meet again next week, may the peace, power, and prosperity of God possess your life.